This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented as always by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. Been our movie reviewer for how many years now?
Since 2005. So is it going to be 20 years in about a couple years from now?
Yeah. So I guess it would be 17 years if it was 2005 when you made your debut.
I think if you actually asked Eric Bickle the most pinnacle point in his life or most important part of his life, he would say it's me joining the show for sure.
Yes, you elevated from being a receptionist at WJFK to becoming a movie reviewer on the job.
It's actually quite the exact opposite. We actually changed his life dramatically, but it's all good.
Remember, he used to also clean Jeff Hedges' aquarium.
That's right,
true.
He did.
True. People don't realize, like, I know we joke about it a lot, but that was, like, literally my life. Like, I worked 90 hours a week. I was making 28 grand a year. And I was a national sales assistant, and I would literally, on a Saturday, fly to L.A., Sunday, interview Angelina Jolie, Monday, back in the office, getting Jeff salads and then cleaning his fishbowl. That was the law of dichotomy in literal terms. And again, I'm not saying that like being an assistant is a bad thing. I was an assistant for a long time, but just the juxtaposition between what I was doing on the weekends for free and then what I was getting paid for was just
sometimes that's what you got to do. Got to sacrifice.
Pretty wild.
Got to grind.
Yeah, so. All right. So what do you got this week, kid?
He saw Smile, which came out last week, which I was intrigued by. I just actually tweeted at Chunks Radio that you were coming on the show with the GIF of Smile. It's very creepy looking.
Yeah. So last week. So it's interesting. I've been coming on your show for years, and one of the things that I've is interesting sometimes is if there's like five movies opening in one week, it's hard to get to every single one, and depending on what movies I'm doing interviews for, that ends up being the movie that I'll cover. So last week when I did your show, everybody was tweeting me going, "What about Smile?" I was like, "Well, I just reviewed four other films," and what was funny about your listeners is that they were all right. That was the number one movie of the week, which was interesting because then obviously you get an idea of the pulse of what people are wanting to see and what people are seeing. And
Bros was a flop, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, and I loved Bros, but last week your listeners were asking about Smile, so I went out and saw Smile on Wednesday just so I could talk to you guys about it today. It's an insane horror film. I know that Cakes, I know you used to be into a lot more horror than I believe you are now, Cakes, but I found this to be, we're having a great year for horror movies. There was a movie a couple weeks ago called Barbarian, which I absolutely loved, with Justin Long. And this one is kind of in the sense of it's just insane. I have never seen something like this, especially in theaters in a long time. So the concept, as you can tell from the GIFs, the smile ends up being one of the creepiest things on the planet. And the bit is, it's kind of like The Ring. Remember The Ring where you'd watch the TV, and if you saw it, the girl would come out, and then it would, like, that was the cycle, and every time you saw something, it would kill you. So in this particular instance, what happens is somebody is possessed by some evil entity. And this is really dark, and I'm sorry for how dark this is going to be. But in the more, basically, what happens is the person ends up killing themselves in front of somebody, and that then transfers the entity to that other person, and it's just a repeating domino effect of trauma.
Where does the smile come into play?
So the smile comes into play because while the person is doing while the person is committing suicide in that moment, they have this wicked, disturbing smile on their face when they do it. And which is obviously a very hard thing to think about. And I was thinking about this the other day. I'm getting older, and there's just things that I don't want to watch anymore. And I kind of, part of the reason why I think I didn't see Smile originally was I just didn't want to put myself through something like that because it deals with trauma and it's very, very disturbing. But as I watched the film, it actually plays really well in terms of like what it does for horror and entertainment, but also it has a lot to say about trauma and how we face trauma and how we face it in our lives. So I'm not trying to like get a deep read into an R-rated horror movie that's probably designed for scaring people, but at the same time, I found the film to be deeply somatic in that sense.
Hey,
so,
Kevin, we're used to trauma. We have to watch Carson Wentz start to finish this weekend. We know trauma here in D.C.
But, you know, in all honesty, though, I was super impressed with this film. This is a super low-budget movie. It was like a $17 million budget film, made $22 million this past weekend. There's no big stars in it. The lead star is Kevin Bacon's daughter, and she's fantastic in the film. And I'll tell you right now, I was scared. I walked out of it with a lot to think about. It is a very well-made horror movie, and I think people might have some complaints about the ending because sometimes with endings in horror movies, you don't know if they're trying to set up a sequel or they're trying to continue a franchise. I kind of like things a little more bookended and maybe kind of like a finality to it. But overall, I was super impressed with it. I think people should see it. Just a warning, it is very disturbing. But if you're looking for thematics like that where you can kind of learn about facing trauma and facing your demons, I think that's a really interesting part of the movie, not just the violence and the scares.
Kevin, hold on. Are the suicide scenes really graphic?
They're horrifying.
Oh. I'm out.
But here's the thing. So like one of the things that I find interesting about movie making is, and you'll see when you watch the film that like what the person is doing is not actually committing suicide because they're taken over by this entity, but it is still the act of it and the visual of it, which is very hard to watch. But at the same time, you know, you got to think about movies and what they show you and what they don't show you. Sometimes really it's what they don't show you, but what you think you see. And I remember when I was a kid seeing Seven, David Fincher's Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. And I remember watching that movie going, why isn't David Fincher showing the actual murders and the violence? And as I got older, I realized, oh no, it's way more disturbing when you have to think about it yourself. So like, I remember like there's a scene in Seven where they're talking about lust, one of the sins the characters commits. And it's just the guy explaining what he did. And to be honest with you, the visual that comes into your head when you're thinking about what that guy did versus actually showing it is way more terrifying. That's why Jaws is so effective. You don't see the shark for a long time because it's the imaginary aspect of it. So
what is the Kevin McCarthy rating for Smile?
I gave it a 4. I was really impressed with what it did. I just want to warn people, you know, this is not an easy film to watch, but if you can go into it expecting that certain level of thematics and deep dives, but also just the horror aspect of it, I think you'll dig it.
All right, so let's get to Amsterdam. I just saw a commercial for it. It looks like it has a great cast.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is in this movie. This is David O. Russell. This is the guy who directed Silver Linings Playbook. You guys remember the movie Three Kings with Mark yep. Wahlberg and George Clooney?
Yep, good movie.
So, great director. Did The Fighter as well with Christian Bale. So this is Amsterdam. It's Margot Robbie, Christian Bale, Mike Myers, John David Washington, Taylor Swift, Chris Rock, Rami Malek, Anya Taylor-Joy, Zoe Saldana. It's a huge cast. Problem is the movie's not good. And one of the biggest problems with this film is it's just a reminder of, oh, there's that famous person. There's that famous person. There's that famous person. And the story and the idea behind the film, it just doesn't work. And the basic premise is this: three best friends end up witnessing a murder and becoming the prime suspects in the murder, but also in the process, uncovering one of the most outrageous plots in American history. De Niro's in the film as well. The problem is the mystery isn't interesting. It's just not interesting enough to hold your attention for the 2+ hours of the film. So, like, you can sit there and like Christian Bale's performance, you can have fun with Robert De Niro, but at the same time, nothing about the story attaches to you. There's a shocking thing that happens right in the beginning that I think will surprise people, but outside of that, I didn't find the film to be engaging at all. I was bored pretty much for so much of the movie, and that's really hard to say considering the people who are in this movie. Emmanuel Lubezki shot this movie, who shot The Revenant and Children of Men. What a phenomenal DP, but I just found the film to be boring, and that's kind of crazy to think.
So what's your rating for that one?
Boring. I gave it a 2.
2? Oh. Stay far,
that's
far
pretty
away.
Pretty low for Kevin.
Yeah.
2's
yeah,
pretty low, bud.
And here's the thing. It's like, how could a movie like that, like, it's almost more frustrating that it's bad. Like, if this was just a movie that came out and it was, you know, maybe a couple big stars and, you know, wasn't like a huge director or you know, Oscar-winning filmmakers behind it, you know, you can watch it and go, that was bad, but it's almost worse when you have this many talented people on a project and then you have a film that just doesn't work. And I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there going, is this going to kick into gear? Am I missing something here? Be considering how big of a deal this cast is. So yeah, I wasn't a fan. It was really kind of boring in a weird way. So I didn't like
That's
it.
That's the lowest rating you've given in many, many weeks, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll tell you right now, my grandmother is 96. I don't know if I told you guys this,
wow.
But my
awesome.
She's in a nursing home in Williamsburg, Virginia, and like once a week or so they show her, they bring movies to play for her and people who are with her at the nursing home. And so we started talking, and now I'm kind of watching some of these movies with her at the same time via, you know, we're just talking on the phone about them. So I've been going back and watching classics that I've never seen before. And I'm just getting a really great perspective on movies that I've watched older movies when I was a kid, but never really took them in as much as I wanted to. So I'm being honest with you, man, like the older films, I'm just blown away by the content of these. They're not brutal. They're not violent, I mean, in a way that the movies are today. So I'm going to recommend 2 movies to you guys that I know people in your audience have probably already seen, but these are worth revisiting. The Hustler with Paul Newman.
Great
and
movie.
And The Color of Money, which was the sequel in 86 that Scorsese directed with Tom Cruise. If you guys haven't seen The Hustler in years, it's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. Paul Newman plays a pool player who he's trying to become the best, Jackie Gleason. But then the Scorsese sequel, 25 years later, to bring back Paul Newman and have Tom Cruise. They don't make movies like that anymore. I think the 61 film is more timeless than Scorsese's movie in 86. So they're both great. So those
right,
are, that's the kind of stuff I'm watching right now.
Good yeah. stuff. That's Kevin McCarthy. You can catch him on TV on Fox 5. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. I love you guys.
Later,
right,
Papa.
Buddy.
Love
See
you. Coming up later this hour, we have our Junkies Weekend Parlay. Coming up next, though, we'll give you some reasons why the Commanders can get back on track this Sunday.
We need it.
Keep it here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Going to get back into Titans Commanders. We put up the Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Van Meter Homes. You can vote at Junks Radio. Jason, you asked earlier where the Junkies public was leaning.
Yeah.
Right now, 74% Titans.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a heavy lean
straight up.
Tennessee.
So three quarters of the people believe that the Commanders will lose their fourth straight. But our pals from Riggo's Rag came out with three reasons the Commanders will get back on track versus the Titans. Do you care to hear the three reasons they
sure.
have laid out?
Yes. Give them to me.
Titans are very vulnerable against the run. Last week, Washington actually had some success running the football, 27 carries for 142 yards. Well, they face a Tennessee defense that's allowing 118.4 rushing yards per game. That is 19th in the league. Mm. Now, last week they did bottle up Jonathan Taylor, but maybe it's because Jonathan Taylor's banged up. Colts offensive line is having some issues, but Tennessee is allowing 4.8 yards per game on the ground.
We saw Washington commit to the rushing attack against the Cowboys. I mean, they're no strangers to that. They want to take pressure off Carson Wentz as much as possible. So you give Brian Robinson part of the load. Gibby's going to have part of the workload too. Even Jonathan Williams got worked in last week. Plus McKissick. So they have a lot of options to run ball, especially if it starts working early.
When you look at them defensively, they're very similar. I mean, both teams are giving up. They're giving up 118 yards per game. We're giving up 112. Through the air, they're giving up 292, which is a pretty big number, but we're giving up 273.
Now you're getting ahead of the three reasons. So number one is the Titans are vulnerable against the run. Mm-hmm. Number two that they lay out, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, the passing offense should show signs of life. Vrabel's side is tied for the fourth most passing yards allowed. They've given up over 1,000 yards already through four games. And they're allowing quarterbacks to complete nearly 68% of their passes. And the 7.7 yards per attempt allowed is the third most.
And so, they've been especially bad at stopping tight ends. So maybe this is a Logan Thomas mini breakout spot against the Titans. He hasn't been that heavily involved. Maybe he sees some more action, especially with Dotson out.
He looks slow when I see him.
Well, I mean, the guy's coming back from an ACL tear. Yeah. You think he's going to be 100%, like 9 or 10 months
This
after?
Would be encouraging if you're a Wentz guy. They have given up the most passing touchdowns in the league. They've given up 10 passing touchdowns already
this season.
Carson
has proven that if he has a little time, he can burn you. No doubt about that. Here's the problem, though. When you look at Pro Football Focus numbers and their numbers for the most pressures allowed, you know who's been pressured the most when he drops back?
I'm going to guess Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
Surprised not Daniel Jones.
59 times. Daniel Jones is number two.
Yeah.
53 times, tied with Joe Flacco, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. But the quarterback who's been pressured the most this year, it's not Matt Ryan. It's Carson Wentz. And
now, some of it, I do think, when we watch Carson Wentz, some of it, I think, falls on him. He just doesn't seem to be able to manipulate a pocket.
Well, they
very
break
well.
That down, too, and they say about 8.5% is on him. Daniel Jones, they say 18% is on Daniel Jones.
He runs into sacks.
And something in common with a lot of those guys, Daniel Jones, nicked up. Herbert, banged up ribs. When you're seeing that sort of pressure and you know those guys are coming in and throttling you, not only in sacks, but quarterback hits, these guys are going to start picking up injuries.
The defensive tackle for the Titans, Jeffrey Simmons, who should be a load this week, says, when he was asked about Wentz, he says he wants to make his throws downfield. He's going to hold the ball, look downfield. That's an opportunity for us.
That's true. He does do that.
And that goes to back to winning up front. You have to affect guys like that. When he's looking downfield, that means he's not looking at the rush. That's what they're looking at.
The number three reason, according to Riggo's Rag, the Commanders will get back on track versus the Titans. Again, you can chime in at 800-636-1067, is they believe the Commanders' offense returning to form this week, and that the Commanders' run defense is improving. So
that's what I've been saying the last 2 weeks.
You've got Derrick Henry. Henry got back on track in week four and five, I guess. I don't know why it's saying five.
Weeks three and four.
Yeah, this article says four and five. He's had 199 rushing yards, two touchdowns on 4.7 yards per carry the last 2 weeks. But up front, Washington has been doing much better.
Well, yeah. Remember, it's been my mantra all week. They said that Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders, those guys, were going to run all over us. Then they said Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard were going to run all over us. That didn't happen. Now, the problem is the quarterbacks beat us, which is what we dared them to do. I would suggest that's the same game plan this week. Derek Tannehill to beat us. And if he does, you know, okay.
Right, if you limit Derek Henry and Tannehill is finding Robert Woods or Jeffrey Swaim, one of his tight ends, or other weapons that he has, then, look, you took away the principal weapon, and they beat you with secondary options. You can live with that. You can't live with Derrick Henry gouging you for like 160 yards and two or three touchdowns.
It starts up front, shutting him down.
Yeah.
Starts up front, shutting him down. I get it's different. They play different, whatever. But I get like Eli Manning vibes with Tannehill. Like Eli could burn you, but Eli could throw you a couple balls every game too.
The other reason to think that Washington, you know, could play much better and win this game is just, you know, we say it all the time, kind of do theory.
Yes.
Because they've been so bad for 10 out of the last 12 quarters. At some point, they're going to look pretty good. I don't know if it's this weekend. I don't know. I mean, you're playing a kind of an okay team, not a great team. You're playing maybe an average team based on the record.
Right.
Now, their running back is better than average. But,
for sure.
You know,
but
at some point,
every team has great players.
At some point, you're going to look pretty good offensively. I don't know if that's going to be Sunday.
It might not be this week, though, because I think no one's really talking about the fact that Dotson's not going to be there.
And let's see where Samuel is.
Well, I think this
and
is
Samuel's been sick.
Let's see where he is.
This has to be the McLaurin 12-13 target game, and where he finds the end zone.
You would
and just
think
breaks the game open.
Is there any chance Deami Brown impacts the game in a real way?
No,
I'd say no.
No chance.
Chances are very slim. Now he'll have more opportunities, but
he'll get some snaps.
Has he ever struck you as an explosive, dynamic player?
We're supposed to be.
Okay, maybe in Carolina he was. He hasn't done it here.
No, he's not.
It's funny you mentioned that, EB, because it's time for the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics Injury Report. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. And yes, because of Jahan Dotson being out and Curtis Samuel missing practice with an illness, Deami Brown has a chance to see more snaps on Sunday versus the Titans. That's the Center for Advanced Orthopedics Injury Report. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Don't you think, okay, part of it is on Carson Wentz to find Terry McLaurin. Don't you think it is on Scott Turner to scheme him open?
Definitely. Yes. Of course it is.
100%.
Even if you have shutdown corners that are blanketing your top options, the best offensive coordinators find a way to get those guys involved in the offense. Scott Turner has to do the same thing, especially with Dotson sidelined. McLaurin has to be a focal point of the offense. If he's not, then Scott Turner deserves a demerit. He should get written up.
Well, I don't know how good or bad Scott Turner is as a coordinator. No idea.
Yeah.
I don't know where his colleagues would rank him, but it's not like he's sitting in his office or on the field all week just scratching his head. You know, they're doing things to try and game plan to get
100%.
McLaurin
But they're learning. So they're learning what's working and what's not.
So I would think that, yeah, they're going to lean on him heavily, but Carson's got to get the ball to him.
Well, no Dotson helps. You know, RG3 comes on the show every Monday at 8, and I think he used the word this week, maybe it was last week, competition. And he was saying with Jahan Dotson, there's more competition for the catches. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be less, because you have three competent receivers with Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson, besides just Terry McLaurin and a bunch of bums. But now you got one less guy who you would deem as competition in terms of receiving Carson Wentz's passes. So you would think McLaurin's production would go up game.
What's your over-under on Deami Brown catches against the Titans? I'm going to set the number
at one and a half.
One and a half.
I go under two.
Two and a half is a good, solid number.
I'm going under that.
Well, he probably
if Samuel's going to play the entire game, I'd go under that.
Right. Can anybody do a deep dive and tell us what the Curtis Samuel illness is?
We could text JP
Samuel.
Does he have
strep throat? Does he have a head cold? I mean, these are things I need to know.
Who cares? Take some Theraflu and get out there. He's going to play.
He's got 2 days to
take some
guaranteeing me he's going to play?
If he just has the sniffles, he's going to play.
What's the dividing line? What keeps him sidelined?
I guess it's
mono
fever.
Definitely keeps him sidelined.
COVID. You just take Dayquil. No, COVID's not going to keep him down at this point.
I would think he's going to be fine.
He's going to play. 100%.
I'm taking that as an EB guarantee that he's playing.
Unless he's just like totally winded from not working out for a couple
Could
days.
Could be weak.
Unless he's like, yeah.
Sap the strength.
Take some Dayquil. Do a shot of Hennessy.
Whatever you can to get
whatever
on the field.
Boston those guys make. Yeah, he's playing. He's playing. But I think it's important to realize that when Dotson went out, when they targeted him and he tweaked his hammy, all of a sudden Deami was in. Now, he didn't do anything, but he was the next man up. So Deami
he's the fourth receiver.
Well, at least he runs more of those routes than Cam, maybe. You know? He might have a bigger
game plan
for him. I'm fine
with playing
him
because you're short personnel, but give all of his targets to Terry McLaurin, please. Give him all the targets.
Well, that's the thing that's so frustrating. When you see guys that like Cooper Kupp, I mean, he's obviously elite, the best of the best. But when you see guys like that targeted like 18 times, and then our best guy targeted like 6.
You know who's getting that treatment in this offense is Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
He's the most heavily targeted person on the team.
Yeah, but they're not threatening targets. They're just...
I know, but
they're like 1 yard passes.
Anytime you give him a target, it's taking away from Terry.
Yeah, yeah. Although I like it. I like giving the ball to Samuel. It's
like
a run.
Being involved.
Yeah.
Especially after what he did, and more importantly, didn't do in his first season here. Yeah. He was never on the field. He's never available.
Curtis Samuel ranks 13th in the league in targets.
It's pretty high.
Number one in the league, of course, is Cooper.
Right.
And Davante Adams is too, but... So he's right there. I mean, he's 10 behind Davante Adams, so they're definitely throwing it to him.
He's been targeted 37 times. Meanwhile, McLaurin, 27. Yeah. Dotson's 22.
He's got two games where he has over 10 targets. 10 times in the Philly game, 11 times in the opener against Jacksonville.
I mean, just that Dotson's touchdown ability, I mean, this is remarkable.
It's pretty fantastic.
Remarkable for a rookie. So he's going to be heavily missed. Is there a chance that they play him this week? I don't think so.
I doubt
he's only listed as questionable.
I don't think
he's
going to see
him. Why is
he
not listed as doubtful?
I don't know.
They don't really do doubtful.
They don't really do that anymore. They just do questionable.
You'll still see doubtful, but most of the time it's a red Q next to the guy's name.
Yeah, I just usually see
if Q. You see doubtful, you know he's
it's
not
either
playing.
O or Q usually.
Questionable, they're leaving the door open a crack.
Yeah. Right. All right, we need to go around the room. We need to make official predictions. I know we can maybe do this a couple times, but... I don't think we've gone around the room. Cakes, official prediction.
Dub for the Commanders. Code red. They have to win this game.
It is code red. Doesn't mean they're going to win it, but you're saying that...
They win. Commanders win.
Give me a score.
Commanders win. They have to get the offense back on track. If they do that, they're going to score between 24 and 28 points. I like the Commanders 24-21.
All right, I like it. All right,
of course you like it. I'm picking your boys.
I mean, they just have been so bad offensively. I just don't think that they're going to miraculously start looking like a high-powered offense and score enough points. I think Derrick Henry has a big game. I think Derrick Henry has minimum 90 yards rushing and scores. And I think they'll
control. Is that enough to win if he has 90?
I think so. I think anything's enough based on how Washington's played the last three games.
All right.
So I just think Tennessee wins.
JP?
I'll take Tennessee 23-17. Offense just isn't good enough here in Washington.
Yeah, Mike.
Come on, you're on my team.
It's a code red.
It's a code red game, but it doesn't mean we're going to win it.
Right, of course not.
I don't know. I'll probably lean Tennessee 24-21.
Leaving me on the island?
No, listen, I'm desperately... Part of me is doing a little Lou Holtz here.
Okay.
But I'm going to say 24-21 Tennessee, and I'm going to be really, really sad. Mm. I'm going to be really, really sad. Uh-oh. I hope I'm wrong.
It'll be an ugly misery Monday if we come in here and it's 1-4.
Valdez? Oh, he's not there. We got John Lindsay doing the board. That's right. Valdez can use that mic. John Valdez, Lindsay. What do you like? We'll go around the room.
I don't understand the Tennessee disrespect. I think Tennessee is a very good team, mm-hmm. perennial playoff team, mm-hmm. and for whatever reason, they're well coached, but for whatever reason, their style of play, it's not flashy, it's not mm-hmm. high-flying, so it gets disrespected. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee wins 31-17.
Ooh, that's a beating. All right, that's a pwning.
The sky is falling on Monday. Oh.
All right. If Washington wins, though, I want you to acknowledge that's a good win.
Yeah,
I want full capitulation.
Yes. Of course. What happens on Monday.
If they win, you have a win over Jacksonville and you have a win over Tennessee. I think those are quality wins.
Yeah.
That's something you can build
stylistically, I would be upset with like a 12-9 type of win.
Well,
like we saw last night at Thursday.
I'm sorry, it offends
my sensibilities as an NFL fan.
If you're a Commanders fan, and I could guarantee you that you would beat Tennessee 12-9 on Sunday.
Of course.
You would not take it.
If you told me that Carson gets benched.
Kicks is brainwashed.
I know. If Carson gets benched at halftime, but we win 12-9 with Taylor.
You're loving it.
I mean, I'm taking the dub.
I know. I'm a weirdo. I like scoring and points and, I don't know, entertaining
Well, that would
game.
Be an interesting week.
Scenario, right?
Here's what I noticed about Cakes picking the Commanders.
By the way, Washington can't hold anybody 9 points.
The other day, Cakes said it's a 5% chance.
Yes.
5% chance that the Commanders get to 3-3. And he totally disrespects the Bears.
He's
got them beating the Titans. Well,
why are you pointing that out?
Now you think they're going to lose to the Bears?
Why would you say
5% chance?
He doesn't think it's true.
I know it's a long shot.
All right, we don't even need to ask Drab. He's going to pick, I'm sure, pick Tennessee in the big one, right? I mean, what a waste of time to ask Drab.
Well, you picked them.
Yeah, I know, but he disrespects us. I've picked
Commanders in other games this year.
You have?
And that was a mistake.
Yeah. So he's not picking. All right, so he's picking Tennessee. All right, I want to hear what Lindsey John thinks.
I got the Titans 28-20. I think our team's awful. We're horrible.
That's the analysis?
Yes, it is.
It's probably accurate.
I've been so angry this whole week. I've grown up with this poverty franchise. John Beck, Rex Grossman were the first quarterbacks I watched. I'm done.
Yeah, he doesn't know the glory years.
Is that a popular phrase? That's what my son
poverty
says.
Poverty is popular.
He says that it's about the Commanders all the time.
He always
goes, the Commanders with poverty.
And he did switch out the glasses. Those are different glasses,
did,
right?
Yes.
The black ones?
These are my reading glasses. I've always had these.
His old glasses were, the kids love to say this, down bad. His old glasses were down bad.
Gotcha.
All right, coming up next, we will try and hit it big as we give you our Junkies Weekend Parlay here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Friday, 7:45. You know what that means. Time for our Junkies Weekend Parlay. We try and hit it big via FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. I would say spin the wheel, although we had a request. Lindsey John wants to bat leadoff.
Mm-hmm. He's got to get out of here.
Or you could spin the wheel and then you just say Lindsey John.
Which I will.
He's got to go to school and work on his pre-calc.
Johnny.
All right, I'm doing an alternate spread. Philadelphia Eagles giving 6.5 against the Cardinals. The Eagles are red hot, 4-0, and the Cardinals could be easily 1-3, have one of the worst rosters in the NFL, and I don't think their defense is going to be able to stop the Eagles. And their O-line, I think the Eagles are going to get after them. And I think the Eagles win by at least a touchdown.
Love it.
There you
What's
go.
What is the original line?
Is 5.5.
5.5.
So, you just added a point?
Yeah but it All goes right. from like minus 110 to plus 106.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. He's moving that line.
Hey, at least he didn't make it like to win by 20.
He's getting spicy, that Lindsey John.
All right, John. We'll take it. We will take it.
All right, Mr. Matt Myers.
All right. I already know you guys are going to groan at this.
Okay.
But there's no alt spread on this, so I'm just saying, F it. We're going to take Vanderbilt at home. They're hosting Ole Miss. They're plus 580 on the money line. All right. Vanderbilt's coming off of a bye week, and it's kind of a sleepy spot for Ole Miss because they just got skin in their teeth against Kentucky, and they have the meat of their SEC schedule coming up. I think they have like Auburn, LSU, Bama, Arkansas, Mississippi State. So this is kind of a sleepy game for Ole Miss. I'm not a fan of Jackson Dart. Vanderbilt gets Sice for their freshman quarterback. So and then Ole Miss, all they want to do is run the ball, and Lane Kiffin hates that he has to run the ball. This isn't your Ole Miss throw it around the yard team. So I think Vanderbilt can keep it close in kind of a letdown spot against Ole Miss, and I'm just hoping in the fourth quarter they can come through and win.
So plus 580 on
plus
the money line.
Plus 580 on the money line.
That would be a shock. It would be the shocker of the weekend to beat number 9 team. And by the way, Will Levis gave the game to Ole Miss last week. Just gave it to him. Just want to say that. All right, you're in. Plus 580. Cakesy, you're up.
What's more exciting than Big Ten Friday night football in New Jersey? Probably nothing. It's super exciting when Nebraska travels to Rutgers to play on a Friday night. Why is Nebraska giving 3 points to any team in the country? I don't get it. I don't understand.
Because it's Rutgers.
So, of course, I'm going to take the Scarlet Knights at home getting a tasty 3 points.
How have they done since they fired Frost? Have they
still, Nebraska?
Yeah.
They got hammered by Oklahoma.
Nothing
and
changed.
And they beat a subpar Indiana
The
team.
Oklahoma game was embarrassing.
Their two wins are against North Dakota.
Right.
Okay, not North Dakota State, where silly Trey Lance and Carson Wentz went. North Dakota, different, and Indiana. So I'm going to take the Scarlet Knights catching 3 points at home at plus 128, I believe.
I like it.
Other people do like that.
I like that.
They're geniuses.
That's a
like
cool stadium. My boy played lacrosse there. It's actually a cool spot.
Very good. I hope Rutgers pounds them and wins the bet.
All right, you're in. All right, Mr. Well, spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel, Valdez. These guys are too busy joning over
Sorry, we were joning on your affinity for Jersey and New York guys.
Yeah. I just like the stadium.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Man, you classic. Go there if you don't
Vinny
like it.
And Joe
huh?
like the yeah. stadium.
Hey, classic. You know football was invented at Rutgers.
I know you're joning, but I think there is some history.
The yeah, birthplace no, of college
huh?
football.
No, I'm not joning, but it's just all they talk about.
I mean,
because all their teams
there.
Suck.
Yeah.
I think there is some history. It's a cool stadium, I'll tell you.
That's going to be such a bad game. Can't watch that.
We're going to get our ass beat by Maryland later this season.
All right, let's go, Mr. Bickle.
All right. I didn't even know this was a bet, but I saw it, and I like it. So,
do you like as much as you like the Jack Link's beef sticks?
No,
they
this
are
is just a
delicious.
It's fine, but I wish we had better options. All right, so there you can go in. If you go into scoring, Jason,
for
you can
what
get,
game?
For the Commanders game.
Oh, okay.
There is a bet here. Both teams have to score a touchdown in each half. So I just need the Commanders to score a touchdown in the first half, and the Commanders to score a touchdown in the second half,
okay.
And likewise with Tennessee.
Okay.
I think that's very doable. I mean, obviously, you need at least 14 points.
Yeah.
And you need at least two touchdowns. So both teams to score a touchdown in each half plus 210.
You better hope the Commanders don't show up like they did in the first halves against Detroit and who else was it? Where they're just maybe Philly?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were dreadful and got blanked in the first half.
I understand. Do theory.
Okay.
Two theory. I think we're going to score.
All right. I hope you're right.
I think the offense is going to break out a little bit. Now, I don't know if it's going to be enough to beat Tennessee, but I think, I mean, we're not going to have another dud where we score like 8 points.
EB, they're definitely breaking out. I picked them to score like 24 or 28 points.
Yeah.
I think your bet's going to come through.
I like that. Don't you like that? Plus 210?
Sure.
Both teams
at that number.
Have to score a touchdown in each half. Jason, you like it? No.
I don't.
You
know? I don't have faith to watch
this
score
knows?
Both halves.
Okay. I mean, it could happen, but man, offensively.
All right.
I don't think it'll be
Do you think we're
gonna some
get
sort of
again?
Explosion.
We're gonna score like 10 points?
No. I think I gave them 17 in my previous prediction, but they could score two in the second half. I don't know.
All right. Okay.
All right. All right. So who's left? Oh, me and Drabby. All right. Drabby? Oh, okay. JP. I'll give Drabby a
All right. There's playoff baseball tonight, and Max Scherzer is on the mound. I know Jason has been saying that he's a little banged up. I looked at his last three starts, 9 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, only 4, the last one against Atlanta, but Atlanta's a damn good team. Faces the Padres tonight. I looked at the alt line, 7+ strikeouts is +150. I think that's tasty. I think Mad Max steps up in the playoffs. He's intense. He'll get to 7 strikeouts tonight. He may not last 9 innings, but he's going to strike out some guys early. So take Max Scherzer, 7+Ks at +150.
It's going to be very interesting to see what Buck Showalter does if they win tonight and if he holds DeGrom out to face, well, they'll be up 1-0. And if he throws Bassett in game 2 and holds DeGrom for a possible game 3 or for game 1 against the Dodgers, that'll be very interesting. Now, if they lose, I think he's got to go to DeGrom. But we'll see. So you're in Max with 7+ strikeouts. Okay, Richie Ricardo. You are in. All right, Drabby, talk to me.
All right, I'm also going to stick with college football. I like the more you guys are playing it. We're going down to the Coliseum Saturday night, Washington State at USC. USC is a 12.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Caleb Williams, they have a great passing offense. I think they're ranked 31st in passing defense, which is going to go up well against Washington State's prolific passing attack.
Oh, Cam Ward.
Cam Ward has 13 touchdowns on the season. But I like
Do you know where Cam Ward transferred from?
Yes, I do.
Right.
Incarnate Word?
Incarnate Word.
Think about it for a second.
Good poll, Drabby.
He's really impressive, and he's going to be, I think, a high draft pick next season. I just think the Cougs can hang. I don't like the 12.5 for USC, so I'll take the Cougars +7.5. I'm sure USC scores late. They always seem to pull one out with a big play late. But I'm just not that impressed with USC so far, and I like the Cougs.
So this is a alt spread?
Alt spread, Cougars +7.5. I think that's +136.
All right, let me get down to that.
Valdez did the heavy lifting this weekend.
They're catching 12.5 for the game, like you said. But
what's the line?
12.5.
12.5, but he's going to alt spread it, +136. All right. Okay. All right, that leaves me. I've hit 3 straight NFL player prop bets. It was Damian Pierce over rushing yards 3 weeks ago. Then I went Saquon Barkley over receiving yards. Last week I went Cordarrelle Patterson to score a touchdown, all 3 hit. I'm going to stick with that, And I'm going to go Justin Jefferson anytime touchdown against the Bears on Sunday. It's minus 110. I know the Bears' pass defense is ranked pretty high, but they've played some poop-a-doops like the Giants and the Texans.
Yep.
And I just think Cousins has a good day. The total for the game is kind of low. I think it's 42.5, but that's because no one expects the Bears to score anything. So I think that Cousins hooks up with Jefferson anytime touchdown in that game.
Very good. How much are we not going to win this weekend?
All right, so we got
a $7 bet because we got seven plays.
We got Justin Jefferson to score a touchdown. We got the Eagles, alt spread, -6.5, plus 106. Max, 7+ strikeouts tonight, 807, ooh, game one against the Pods, plus 150. Vandy, money line against Ole Miss, plus 580. I don't know why I have Michigan in here. And that's coming out. Both teams to score in the Commanders-Titans game. Both teams to score at least a touchdown in each half, mm-hmm, plus 210. We've got Rutgers +3 tonight, Friday Night Lights at home against Nebraska.
Most iconic stadium in football.
EB loves Rutgers.
And Washington State, cool stadium, alt-spread. Alt-spread.
It's like the Actually, greenhouse
go seven. Go $7.
It's all red. Maybe that's why I get
it's all red.
You love the red schools. Washington State +7.5, plus 136. All right. $7 will pay you $6,319.
Come on.
All right.
Can my ship come in? Please.
I will put that up at Junks Radio if you want to play along with the junkies.
Who knows?
Coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
Got to get lucky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.